Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, did this morning was just love the Lord. if all we did today was just love Him, hallelujah! Don't you just love Him? Can't you just feel His love going through this place this morning? This is flowing here like honey. I can't handle it all. It's too much. It's too much. You know, He's a big God, and He is love. And His love is big. There's a bigness in God's love. It's more than you can understand with your mind. It's more than you can comprehend. All you can do is you can only just receive it and just bask in it and just allow it to just wash you. And just allow it to just flow over you. Just allow the love of God to cleanse you and to heal you. You know, over and over and over and over again, I see in the scripture, and it really struck me this past couple of weeks, or this past week really. I was reading Brother Kenneth Hagin's monthly newsletter, The Word of Faith, and he was talking about the compassion of Jesus. And it just ministered to me in such a beautiful way. And I was sharing with somebody just yesterday, and the Lord led me to the scripture in the book of Mark, in the first chapter of the book of Mark. Excuse me. I don't need healing for a nose cold. I just need more capacity to receive God's love. In Mark, the first chapter, in the 40th verse, Mark recorded that there came a leper to Jesus, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him and saying unto Him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus moved with compassion. Those words tell us what Jesus was like in that moment. It says He was moved with compassion. And if the Word of God says that Jesus was moved with compassion at the plea of this leper, and here was a man that had no hope, this poor leper. He didn't have any hope. He was an outcast. None of his fellow countrymen would have anything to do with him. He was required under the terms of the Jewish law not to have any physical contact with those that were clean.
He was called to be unclean. And the law of Moses, the Jewish law under which he was governed, said that whenever he came within a few feet of another person, he had to shout out in a loud, clear voice, "Unclean! Unclean!" In order to let people know what his condition was. He had no fellowship with anybody who was whole. And when Jesus saw him, he said, the scripture says, he was moved with compassion. Now I want you to know that if Jesus Christ was moved with compassion at the plea and the condition of this poor leper man, that he is also moved with compassion toward you. Because God's word says in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he was moved with compassion this day before this leper, he is also moved with the same compassion before you today. And he loves you with a love that you cannot know in its fullness. Paul says we see through a mirror dimly. We don't see God's love clearly and sharply. But one day we'll see him face to face. And one day we'll know him as we are known. And one day we'll know that love of God in all of its fullness. One day we'll experience the love of God in all of its fullness. But God wants you to know today that you can experience more love than you have ever dreamed possible. Jesus Christ is moved with compassionate love toward you. Jesus loves you. And we tell our little children, Jesus loves you. We sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. And we hear it said over and over and over and over again from the time we're this big until we're this big. And we begin to think that we begin to lose the impact of those three words. Because we've heard it so many times, it no longer has the impact. God wants to remind you today that Jesus loves you. He's moved with compassion towards you. His love is so great for you that even though there aren't any of you or me that are worth it, not a single one of us ever deserved what Jesus Christ did for us. Worthless, sinful, rebellious human flesh. Jesus Christ said, I love you none the same. He said, I give my life. No man takes my life from me. I give it willingly. And he said, greater love hath no man than this, that he give his life for his friends. The love of Jesus Christ, his love. Would you just close your eyes for a minute? I want you to do something. Oh, Lord, show me what to do with this now. Show me what to do with it. Father, you just minister to your people today. You do the work. I want you just to begin to say to yourself, Jesus loves me. Said, I want you to say it aloud. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. 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 All right, now I want you to look at me.
The love of Jesus Christ is manifest in his actions on your behalf. Jesus did not say to the leper, "I love you, therefore continue in your misery." The leper didn't say, or Jesus didn't say to the leper, "I love you, therefore continue lost until that day you die and you'll go to hell to be with the devil." Jesus didn't say to the leper, "I love you, therefore continue to go about shouting unclean and be a worthless citizen." Jesus didn't say, "I love you, therefore I will not heal you." Jesus didn't say, "I love you, therefore I'm going to leave you in your misery and your wretchedness." Mark said, "And Jesus moved with compassion." Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you let this slip by you. Don't you let this slip by you. "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand." Glory to God. And he touched him. And guess what happened? "He saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." I don't know about you, but I've thought from time to time, what good would a Savior be if he, A, couldn't save you from hell, B, couldn't solve your financial problems, C, could not heal your broken body, D, could not bring a marriage back together, E, could not provide healing in your mind? What kind of a Savior would that be? The Bible says that Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost. The uttermost. Do you know what the uttermost is? It's the uttermost. I don't know any other way to say it. It's the uttermost. He saves all the way. He delivers all the way. He heals all the way. He makes new again all the way. He restores all the way. He gives life and he gives it abundantly. He's an okay Savior. He really is. He's okay. You can depend on him. Now, one thing I like about the Lord, and it took me a while to understand it, when I began to really appreciate the love of God and to know his love, I wondered why he didn't just dump it on everybody. Even give it to those people that don't want it. Just force it on them, Lord, because it's good for them. They need it. They don't know what they're missing, so you go on and just force it on them, so that they'd have it. He doesn't work that way. He didn't force his healing upon this leper. When he went to the town of Nazareth, which was his hometown, he did not force his salvation nor his healing upon those people that were there. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that he couldn't do many mighty works there because of the unbelief of the people. The Lord Jesus Christ will not force anything upon you. But all that he has is available to you, free and without price. Isaiah said, "Ho, every one of you that thirsteth, come and buy bread without money and buy drink without price. Come if you're thirsty. Come and drink of the water of life freely." There's no price. He says, "Come and take what you need." He's a good God, and he's a beautiful Savior. Hallelujah. And I love him with all my heart. And I'll love him for all of eternity. And the longer I walk with him and the longer I serve him, the more love he will bestow upon me
and the more I will be able to receive from Him. And I'm looking forward to that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You think your choir could sing?
Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and stars which Thou hast ordained.
Verse 4.
What is man that Thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that Thou visitest him?
Verse 1.
Thou dost have an excellent name, more excellent than any other in the earth or in heaven or under the earth. And because of that, and because of your love and your might shown towards us and for us, we bring before you today, our Father, these offerings of a material and financial nature. We return unto you today, Father, not only our praises, but also our sacrifices and offerings of our financial proceeds. In that which you have prospered unto us, we have returned a portion unto you today. We acknowledge that we're only returning that which you have already given us in the first place. We acknowledge your ownership of the rest of that which we retain custody of and our stewardship of it. We dedicate these offerings to your work and to the glory of the kingdom of Almighty God. To that end, we give them in Jesus' blessed and precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to call your attention to what God did last Sunday. You realize that last Sunday morning there were 190 people in this building praising God and worshiping Him. Now that's not a record attendance for us. That's not the most we've ever had in a service. But this place was full of people worshiping and praising God. And last Sunday evening, 140 people. Last Sunday morning, some of you are looking there at the tithes and offerings last Sunday. See, $2,983.21. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in a lot of churches in my lifetime. You know that there are churches right around us, and I don't say this a matter of pride at all, but I want you to give praise to God in this. And I want you to get a sense of what God is doing in our midst. I want you to begin to get a sense of what you're a part of. There are churches right close to us that are 4 or 5 times bigger and even larger than that, that don't see $3,000 in a month. I know churches that have 700-800 members and do not have an operating budget over $100,000 a year. That's less than $2,000 a week, 700-800 members. Now, our object here is not to raise money. That's not what we're about. Our object is to praise God, to worship Him, to study Him, and to show forth His praise. But when your Heavenly Father causes through you and through your brothers and sisters and friends in the fellowship to cause these kinds of resources to come into this ministry, it tells me, and it ought to tell you, that God's got something to do here. That we're not going to come together and just have a teensy-weensy prayer meeting a couple times a week, as Jimmy Swagger says. That we're not going to come together a couple times a week and shout a few hallelujahs.
God's got a mighty powerful work for him to do here. And he's giving us the resources to get it done. And he's in the process of giving us the vision and the plan to accomplish it. Last Sunday morning, I don't think any of the folks are here, but out of this, some of you may ask, well, there's $2,900 and some odd dollars there. Somebody make a big gift in there. And there was one rather large gift. It was a $500 gift. And I didn't bring the letter this morning. I'm going to publish it in the newsletter, but I want to share this with you. There was a letter and a $500 check put in the offering plate last Sunday morning. And it was, the letter was written by some folks that have been fellowshipping with us. And they said that this is the bank account from the Full Gospel Church of Douglasville that was formed in Douglas County several years ago. This group had been praying for 4 years that God would raise up a Full Gospel Church in Douglas County. And they said we had prayed that God would raise up a church in which his people could receive healing, in which his people could be born again, in which his people could be baptized in the Holy Ghost, in which his people could freely lift their hands and just praise him. And they said, and you know how we attempted to begin that church and the problems that we faced, and they did have many. As a matter of fact, they met right over here in the nursing home, in the auditorium of the nursing home. And the church did not prosper. The reasons are not important. But they've had this money laying in this bank account now for a couple of years. And God had led them to close out that bank account and write that check to Water of Life Christian Center. Now, that's got to say something to us, doesn't it? It sure does to me. It sure says something to me. And I, for one, am going to obey God and do what he tells me to do. And I, for one, am going to follow the leading of his Spirit day by day and moment by moment and do exactly precisely what he wants done. Because what he has done thus far is pretty good, I think. And I rejoice at the work that he has begun in us. He's reminded me this week that while sometimes we may see ourselves as a rather small beginning, he reminded me, and it really came home to me when I was watching this program this week, The Heroes of the Bible, or Great Men of the Bible, and you know I don't watch all that much television, but I stumbled into that program. The boys were watching it one night, and I watched I saw the story of Joshua on there and the story of Moses. And while those of you that know your Bible would know that the people that put those programs together did embellish them some, and they did fill in some of the blanks, you know, they kind of added to what's not really in God's Word. But the dramatization of it, frankly, was very faithful, I thought. And while this was going on, the Spirit of God was really dealing with me. And one of the things that he showed me about, especially about Moses, was he showed me a ragtag group of nobodies that nobody wanted and nobody to have anything to do with coming out of slavery in Egypt. But he showed me in the story of Joshua a band of powerhouse faith men and women surrounding the walls of Jericho, and the power of God poured out from on high upon that wickedness and upon that city. And I just sense God working in us in a way just like that. Now, you just take that and receive it for what it's worth. But that's what's on the inside of me. And what the fullness of this is, I don't know. But I feel impressed to share at least that portion of it with you. God is wondrously blessing us. And I want us not to ever for a minute lose sight of the miracle. And it. Brothers and sisters, it is a miracle what God is doing on this piece of property. It is a miracle. And those of you who have been part of the ministry since August a year ago when it first began, you know it's a miracle. Those of you who didn't know anything about it until a few weeks ago, if you don't know it's a miracle now, you'll know it in 3 months or 6 months or a year from now. If we look back, what God has done in the last year. And just think ahead. Do you think God's finished? Do you think that He's done all He's going to do with us and now we're just going to kind of kind of relaxing. This is it. Nope. Isaiah, the 60th chapter. You don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to read one verse. And the Lord just ministered this to me yesterday. This is the chapter I read out of last Sunday. Verse 22. Now, some of you may not receive this, but for those who do, God's Spirit will bless it to your hearts. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. The Lord will hasten it in His time. And I'm not talking strictly about numbers, church. Don't misunderstand. I'm talking about influence and impact for the kingdom of God. Jesus turned this world upside down with 12 men, one of them a rebel. I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about influence for the kingdom of God. So be open to the Lord. That's what I'd encourage you to do today. Be open to His Spirit. Open up the eyes of your understanding and know Him. And catch a glimpse of what God wants to do through us. And please do not limit yourself or the work of the ministry by what you have seen elsewhere. What if Jesus Christ had limited Himself by what He had seen the prophets of old do? God never would have been able to do through Him that which He did. Do not limit yourself, your own personal ministry, or the ministry of the church to what you have seen in the past. If God wants to do something new in you and in me, I exhort you today to be open to that and to just to allow Him to have His way. Can you say praise God? All right, now I'm going to do something we don't normally do on Sunday morning, but the Lord has been dealing with me about it since I first opened my eyes this morning on my pillow. There's somebody in this congregation this morning that has something that I don't even know what it is. But God wants healing to come into your body today. There's somebody, and you may not even know that you have it. This may sound strange for me to just do it like this, but this is the way that the Lord says to do it. Somebody here has diverticulitis. Now, I don't even know what diverticulitis is. But when I woke up this morning, glory to God. When I woke up this morning, just my eyes weren't even open, but just laying on my pillow. And I didn't know what we were going to do in the service today. I didn't know what kind of a service we were really going to have, except that it was going to be a Spirit-led service. And the Lord began to speak to me about laying on hands for the sick. And He spoke this word to me, diverticulitis. Well, I've heard the word before, and I know it's something that's devilish, because God would never have anything that was called by a name that sounded that wicked. Now think about it. Think about this. See, God's gifts are love, joy, peace, tenderness, faith, patience, gentleness, meekness. Those are the gifts that God gives. What Satan gives are cancer, cerebral palsy, diverticulitis, schizophrenia. I mean, you can tell by what they sound like, where they come from, can't you? Can't you? Some of you may never heard that before, but that's right. You can tell where they're coming from. So I know where that's coming from. And then while I was shaving, He spoke it again. Someone has got diverticulitis. Now, I know it's got something to do in here, but I don't know what it is. And if there's whoever that is, if you know you have diverticulitis, or if you feel it, that if you feel the Lord moving upon you right now as I'm speaking, that you need to be prayed for something that you don't know what it is, then I invite you right now to come and receive from God. God wants to heal you today. That's His invitation. Now, it may sound strange for me to issue an invitation like that, but I'm just obeying the Lord. And if you know you've got this thing, and you want your healing today, you can have it. God Almighty stands ready to meet you right here if you'll present yourself. Who is it? Do you know who it is? I know the voice of my Father. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and I follow him. I know his voice as clearly, more clearly, than I know my voice, than I know yours.
You know that God's still with you?
God's going to give our sister. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Just stretch forth your hand. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. You said, Father, these signs shall follow them who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and I am Obadashaki, and they shall recover. In Jesus' name, Father, I lay my hand upon my sister, and I claim healing for her in Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. Do a complete work, Father. Do it completely and fully. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. See, now that is God's love. God loves you so much that he would tell me about your problem when you don't even know what it is. Is that love? That's God's love. That's God's compassion. He loves you. Oh, glory. Does he love you? Praise God, he loves you. Hallelujah. Let me just ask, is there anybody else who's here this morning that needs a healing, needs a touch, needs God's touch today for whatever the need? If you just want prayer this morning, the Lord is moving in this way. If you do, you just come forward. All right. Anybody else? See, God knows what your need is, and he'll be able to meet it. He's able. He knows what your problem is, and he knows what your need is. God will meet it for you. Father, to speak words of encouragement to your people and minister by your Spirit, for I know, Father, that it's not by power and it's not by might, nor is it by fancy demonstration, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Yo,
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my sister, Father, at the end. Father, just let your peace flow. Just say that curse in Jesus' name. I command you to lose her in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just let your peace flow, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for the faith of a child. Thank you, Lord, for that childlike faith that reaches you and touches you. And I ask for one Yamdabash. Yea, Yamdu Shabbatamana. Yea, Yamdu Shabbatamana. You batimuna, Yeshua Nibonae, Yamdamahandibo, Yeshua, Yetumahandibo, Yea, Yamdu Yakashia, Yea, Yamdai, Yea, Yamdai, Yea, Mashida, Yea, Yamdia, Yea, Yamdu, Yaha. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lay my hands upon my brother in an act of faith in your word. Oh, yeah, and thou put each of us over my eyes.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ ought to be a place where the people of God can have their needs met. The Church of Jesus Christ ought to be a place where that desperate need that's inside a born-again believer to praise and worship God freely in the Spirit ought to be met. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a place where Jesus Himself, through the ministry of the body, should be permitted free rein to do what He wants to do, as if, and to do like He would do if He were here on the earth. Do you suppose that if Jesus were here on the earth, that He would not minister healing to those that needed it? Do you think that if He were on the earth, if He were in the pulpit today, if He were here in the congregation, do you think that He would not meet the needs of every single person who was here, if they would come unto Him? If we truly are the body of Jesus Christ, then we must also be willing to allow Him to meet those needs through us. As I've shared so many times, and I, since the Spirit of God has not moved this way in a morning service in quite a while, and He hasn't moved this way, frankly, because I've not allowed Him to. You should know that. It's not that God's any different. He's always the same. But I've not permitted Him to do what He wants to do. I've stopped that. And whatever God wants to do, He can do it. If He wants to bounce you up out of your seat, I'm going to allow Him to do it. And I'm not going to hinder His move. Never again. Never again. Because you see, I can't meet your needs. You understand that? I don't have anything to give you except what's inside me. And the only way that I can cause that to come to you is by moving aside and letting Him come through. Because Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Savior. He's the healer. He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And He's the one that delivers and sets His people free. But I do feel, just to share this, that what you see happening here, if you've never been in a service like this, is what had happened in the Bible. When the power of God was manifested, people began to fall over because they couldn't stand up. God's power was so strong that as the supernatural met the natural gave way. And that's what you see here today. Now, what you have seen is not healing. You didn't see any healing take place. What you saw was the power of God in demonstrable presence. God has said to you, by what you have seen, know ye that I am in your midst. Know ye that I have shown myself plainly unto you this day. Know ye that I have demonstrated my love and my power and my glory before ye today. And if ye will receive it, ye will have your healing or your deliverance or your freedom, that which you have claimed from me. Because a person falls under the power doesn't mean they're healed. It means that God's power is available to them to effect a healing or a deliverance. But it's by faith that you're saved. By faith that you're saved. Not by power. It's by faith you're delivered. It's by faith you're healed. And if you think that somebody's got enough power to heal you, no. Jesus never healed anybody by his power. It was by faith. And that's the way people are healed in the church today, by faith. And what God is doing in our midst is demonstrating his presence as an aid to your faith, so that you'll be able to believe him and receive his glorious gifts.
Sing it with me, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the